Blog Talk Radio.
It's coming. You can hear the roar, and you can feel the rumble. But to really experience race weekend, you've got to see it live. NASCAR returns to RIR for three nights of racing starting this Thursday and culminating Saturday under the lights with the Federated Auto Parts 400. It's the last race to make the chase, and a shot at the NASCAR Sprint Cup is on the line. See for yourself who gets in and who's left out. Great seats are still available, so get yours today at RIR.com. It's NASCAR at RIR. You've got to see it.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hi, I'm Harrison Burton, driver of the number 12 Dex Imaging Toyota Camry, and you're listening to Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from Talladega, Alabama. I'm your host, Tim Despain, alongside of my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Got a lot to talk about this weekend. We just got back from Darlington Raceway, the throwback 70s deal, everything up there. Had an awesome time. I want to give a big shout-out to Chip Wild and the entire staff up there for taking care of us. We had a blast. At this time, I want to bring on my good friend and Reverend of the show, Mr. Reverend Joe. Reverend, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Just a little bit on the tired side, but we had a blast, bud. We had a blast.
Sure looked like it from all the posts I saw from you. Like you guys had too much fun.
Oh, we didn't have too much fun. We didn't have time for just like Stephen Wilson. He come up with a good little quote this weekend. Working like a dog. So that's what we were doing.
Yeah, except the dogs don't work. They just lay on the porch all day.
Well, that's what I was doing. Stephen was working.
Actually, I figured somebody had to be. So shall we get this party started? I know you got a big night tonight.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. You got the floor, Reverend.
Lord, we come before you, and we thank you so much for all you do for us. We thank you for the safety over this past weekend. We ask you to be with all the racers, all the officials, all the people involved at the racetrack. We ask you especially bless the races this coming weekend, as it's an exciting big event. All of them are, but this one's got a lot riding on it. So please bless all that will be there, all the officials, all the pit crew members, everyone involved. Bless our show tonight. Bless all of our listeners. Bless all those involved with auto racing. But we especially ask you to bless all of our troops all over the world. They're risking their lives to protect our country and us. Be with them. Be with their families that are at home missing them. And bless our country. And we thank you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff. Reverend Joe, as always, awesome invocation. I'll say it every week. Going to give you a little bit of time out here. You got the floor to let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website. I keep forgetting the name of it, Reverend. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
The website is ontrackwithjesus.org.
I got it now.
My email is, there you go. You got it down now? All right.
Okay.
My email address is ontrackwithjesus@AOL.com. And my phone number is 951-232-7630. And you can also find me on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubico. Not hard to find on there. Also want to make a shout out to our friend of the show, Donna DeBoard. She just texted in while the national anthem was playing. She just texted in amen to our invocation. So it's good to know folks are listening out there. And also shout out to my good friend Dennis Dickmeyer that has successful and very blessed weekend and all is safe, and I'll be in touch with him in a couple of weeks just to say hello. God bless y'all. It's good to be with you.
God bless you too, Reverend. And again, if you want to let everybody know, you are going to Vegas. I think it's October 3rd for the Rhino Linings 350, the National Grand Prix Truck Series. You're going to be there, correct?
I'll be at the truck race in Vegas, and I also intend to be in Phoenix. Our funds are real, real tight. And at ontrackwithjesus.org, you can go in there, a couple of clicks, donate a few dollars to help us out. We don't have any big sponsors for that organization, but we do the best we can. So we'll definitely be in Vegas for the Rhino Linings race for the Camping World Truck Series, and then we'll be going on to Phoenix in a few more weeks after that. So we're getting into our busy part of the season. We've got a lot of local tracks that are after us to be out at their place for their final races and such. And we love doing that, but unfortunately, it takes a little bit of money to do it.
Exactly right, Reverend. And we want to thank you for being our Reverend on the show, and thank you for everything that you do for the sport. But we really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys, too. God bless you. Have a great week.
God bless you, too, Reverend. See you, bud.
Yeah.
All right, bud. That was our good friend, Reverend of the show, Reverend Joe Bubico. At this time, I want to bring on my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson, who has been working like a dog all weekend from Darlington. Come on,
let's get ready to rumble!
There's the intro, Stephen, and I hope I didn't make you laugh too hard, bud. How's it going now?
No, you didn't make me laugh too hard, and I got to turn right around in two more days and go right back up to Richmond for 3 days out there. K&N Xfinity, and we're going to cut everybody off on Saturday night, so this is going to be a good time out there.
That sounds good, but you want to let everybody know what your schedule is for next week at Richmond? It's the cutoff for the chase, bud, and then we'll get into covering what you and I and AM and Suzanne got to witness this past weekend at Darlington.
Sure, absolutely. We've got K&N Pro Cup Series, second to last race, going to be run at Richmond Thursday night. The UNOH 100 is going to take off a little after 6:30 Eastern time. The Xfinity Series is going to be Friday night, a little after 7. And the Federated Auto Parts 400, where we're going to put in 16 drivers into this year's Chase for the Sprint Cup, going to lock in those drivers and cut everybody else off for 10 races starting from next week at Chicago. That'll go off on Saturday night, a little after 7 o'clock also. So that's scheduled for this weekend. And I was informed by Richmond on Twitter earlier today that don't forget at immediately following the race, when the checkered flag falls, the party does begin. Anybody with a race ticket that is coming out to the race this weekend, you're going to be invited down to come out there onto the track and celebrate with the 16 drivers that will be locked into the chase. I was politely informed of that, so they did remind me.
Awesome, awesome, bud. And since you've already touched on the times and stuff, which I normally do this after you're already off the show, whenever Tony and Todd come on, I always read the schedule in advance. But just to touch on both the races, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Virginia 529, College Savings 250, like you said, the same time. Excuse me. MRN has your radio, NBC, SN has your TV. And then Saturday night, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Federated Auto Parts 400, like you said about the time and stuff. Just let everybody know MRN has your radio and MCSN also has your TV. And, Stephen, if I can, I want to let everybody know we've got coming up at the bottom of the hour, we've got Dennis Bickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway. He's going to talk about, I'm sure he's got a ton to talk about. You know, we talked to him at Darlington this past weekend. He's going to get everybody enlightened on what all kind of deals he has going on, and we'll get his take on the chase. I mean, I wish I could be there with y'all, bud, but, you know, like I said, I had a prior engagement. I can't make it. And I'll go ahead and start with the Xfinity Series if I can, Stephen. The NASCAR Xfinity Series, the 33rd annual BFW Sport Clips Epa Hero 200 at Darlington Raceway sort of hit me out, man, here. I misplaced my other eyes. Denny Hamlin was your winner in the Sports Clips Toyota. And around, just to go through your top 10, Kyle Busch, second. Daniel Suarez, third. Kevin Harvick, fourth. Chris Buescher, fifth. Joey Logano, sixth. Kyle Larson, seventh. Landon Castle, eighth. Reagan Smith, ninth. And to round out your top 10, Ross Chastain. He had a good run. I seen some of the stuff that you posted on his site earlier. And the race, the top 10 in points, it's getting, it ain't real tight, but Chris Buescher still leading with 874. In the second, Ty Dillon. Third is Chase Elliott. Fourth, Reagan Smith. Fifth in points is Elliott Sadler. Sixth is Darrell Wallace Jr. Seventh, Daniel Suarez. He's had a great year, Stephen, great year. Eighth is Brian Scott. Ninth is Brendan Gaughan. And 10th is Ryan Reed. You want to talk a little bit about the Xfinity Series race that we got to witness up there, bud? It was pretty good, but it went fast.
It was a very, very fast race, about an hour and a half long for to run 147 laps out there around Darlington Raceway. Only two cautions throughout the entire event. One was the NASCAR competition caution that they did fly out there around lap 25 out there. So it was a very, very fast event. The fastest Xfinity event in the track's history out there as far as running out there. One of the couple of the comments out there this weekend was that a couple of the drivers and a lot of people did feel that maybe NASCAR needs to go back and take a look at next year extending that event just a little bit longer, maybe 250 miles. Maybe people feel that it was a little too short out there for that event. All in all, Denny Hamlin, I tell you what, he put on a clinic out there with over 110 laps led out there throughout the event for over Kyle Busch. That for a guy that had to start in the back for multiple infractions, one that he missed driver's meeting, and then he also had his time disallowed in qualifying for failure to blend during his qualifying time session. So, you know, here's a guy that started at the very back and then worked his way all the way up into finishing second. So here we are talking again about Joe Gibbs Racing yet again. Very, very strong team this year, even the Xfinity Series, and we'll get talking more about them when we get over into the Cup Series also.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. Me and you talked about that the whole weekend, Weavers and Darlington, about Joe Gibbs and stuff. I just want to throw the number out there for everybody to call in. The number is 215-383-3681. Call in and talk to Stephen Wilson 9. We want to get your take on the – I'll go ahead and say it because I know Stephen's going to get out there before I do. The 70s throwback, I think that NASCAR – well, it wasn't NASCAR. It was Darlington Raceway come up with that idea. But right now, Stephen, before we have Dennis come up here in about 15 minutes, let's see what Denny Hamlin and crew chief – Michael Wheeler had to talk about after his win there at Darlington Raceway in the NASCAR Xfinity Series.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue on with our post-race availability. We are now joined by our race winner, Denny Hamlin, crew chief Michael Wheeler, and Steve D'Souza with Joe Gibbs Racing. We'll go ahead and start with Denny. Battle there at the end. Tell us a little bit about coming back after your pit stop and taking the win here today.
Well, I guess we didn't get the car completely full on the last stop, which is maybe a blessing in disguise, actually, because, you know, we had the short pit there. And with that short pit, I scraped the wall with 10 laps before we pitted, and I thought I had significant damage and almost a cut tire. So it forced us to pit road early. Then the only thing that kind of burns you there is getting caught on the racetrack when a caution comes out. So we were able to get through that. I didn't think anyone could make it on fuel, and then I saw those guys stretching it. And the pace that we were running, I knew it would be close, but it looked like the 18 picked up speed with about 8 to go, and I didn't think, I still, with 8 laps to go, I couldn't see him. He was so far ahead, and evidently he had some contact with the wall, and it damaged his car enough to where it slowed him down to where we were able to get to him. So it was obviously high drama, but Joe Gibbs Racing obviously had pretty good odds there at the end of the race.
All right, Michael, and Denny spoke a lot about pit strategy here today. Tell us a little bit about the strategy at the end and maybe your reaction to realizing you didn't have enough fuel in the car.
Yeah, I knew pretty quick that we were actually shy on fuel right before we went back to green. Just had a fumble on a pit stop. It's, you know, human error, but at the same point, the guys are always really good, so I can't blame them. It just happens in sports, and, you know, we overcame it. He got me nervous for sure when he started screaming how bad the car was with about 15 laps before we pitted. Fortunately, he was able to keep the lead still and keep track position. I short pitted him by about 5 laps where we could go just to make sure we weren't too much in trouble. And honestly, the tires looked fine, so it was really just the track changing and the car and time of day type of thing. But honestly, once we got back on the racetrack and we were about a second and a half faster than the leader, I realized, you know, quickly we could make up a 15-second lead. Or break it down to, you know, be within 5 seconds. Then with 10 to go, it was like, oh, we can actually catch this guy. Knowing Daniel and the 18 guys were running for the Dasher Cash, I knew we could kind of knew they weren't racing them for a win, but they were racing something bigger than just a trophy. So it kind of worked out in the end, and I'm glad we could bring another trophy back to JGR.
Right, and then, Steve, all 3 JGR cars in the top 3 today. Tell us about the strength of the organization at this point in the season.
Well, it's just obvious that we've been working very, very hard, and I contribute that to the crew chiefs and the guys at the shop, the engineers, everybody that's been working on the aero, the engines, all the mechanical things that go along with it. Gives the opportunity for the drivers to get in and demonstrate what they can do, which is what we saw today. So it was a great run by all 3 teams, and we're really proud of them and happy for the organization. I'm sure Joe is smiling about all this as well, so it's good to go back and have Coach happy with everything, the way we're doing and how we're doing it.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. We'll start with Al and then go to Jordan.
Yeah, Denny, Al Pearson, Auto Week. I know you've got some history at Langley. Is that why you're taking your short track race there, or is there some other reasons other than the fact that you race there to start your career?
Well, I think it's we talked about from the very beginning rotating racetracks every few years or so. And every venue has done a great job of expanding it, and I think Langley is just the next step in that phase. They have huge crowds. They're bending over backwards for us to come there and host an event, and hopefully we're going to put on another great short track showdown next year. So it's a great track. They got new pavement there. It's where I've got my very first NASCAR win, so it makes sense to go back there.
Steven, do you have a comment on that media center interview? About Suarez, you know, he was trying to save there toward the end.
Yeah, that was one of the problems with Suarez right towards the end, is that unfortunately that he did come up just a little bit short and did have to fall back there to conserve a little bit of fuel, ended up third. But as we did talk about in our special show out there on Sunday, he didn't come away completely empty-handed, because he did win the $100,000 finale of the Dash for Cash out there at Darlington Raceway.
Yeah. I knew that you was going to talk about that. And are they going to do that next year also, Stephen? Or are they going to do that Dash for Cash still again next year?
It has not been announced yet, but they did bring this back from Nationwide, and Xfinity kind of carried that over. So I'm assuming that this will be brought over into 2016, but right now it hasn't been announced yet. But I'm sure as with the season kind of winds down and we get geared up for 2016, I'm sure there will be some type of announcement made.
Awesome. Okay, I'll let you cover the Sprint Cup stuff, bud. You got the floor?
NASCAR Sprint Cup Series out there at Darlington International Raceway after 12 years of being away for the Bojangles Southern 500, returned back there to Darlington. on a hot night out there, which we saw a little bit of rain come into the forecast. Unfortunately, it didn't impact us too much. We got the race underway on time. 4.5 hours after the green flag fell and just shy of midnight on the East Coast, Carl Edwards, who had some tire issues early on into the race, went a few laps down, was able to battle himself back into the race win there with a late race caution that saw Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick really put on a heck of a show out there for the fans that was really wanting to see something with this low downforce package. Those were the two guys I'm sure everybody was thinking was going to win this thing, but unfortunately with that late race caution that kind of jumbled the field up a little bit, and Carl Edwards and his guys was able to get him out in front. Brad Keselowski did end up passing a few cars out there after coming out of the pits about fourth or fifth to finish second out there. Denny Hamlin third. Matt DiBenedetto was the highest finishing rookie out there. Kevin Harvick still leading the points going into Richmond this week by 42 over Joe Logano. This was Carl Edwards' second victory in 2015 and his first victory there at Darlington Raceway. So as we were talking in the Xfinity Series, Joe Gibbs Racing kind of swept the weekend out there with his first place finish, Denny Hamlin third, and then a 1-2-3 finish in the Xfinity Series, as we keep talking every single week. Joe Gibbs Racing is just continuing their dominance between those guys and Penske Racing, with Brad Keselowski taking the pole out there, his first pole at Darlington. It seems like we're already starting to shape up on who's going to be the top-tier teams when we get into the chase, and obviously Joe Gibbs Racing is going to be one of those teams going not only here into Richmond, but as we follow through the cutoff in the chase to the next 10 events that we'll see following Richmond this weekend.
Yeah, and you and I talked about that a lot this past weekend while we were in Darlington. Whenever we did have some downtime, we talked about Gibbs, we talked about Roush, and Hendrick. I don't know what's going on there. But, Stephen, let's see what Carl Edwards and crew chief Darren Grubb had to say in the meeting after they won the 66th running of the Bojangles Southern 500.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue on with our post-race availability for tonight's Bojangles Southern 500. We are now joined by our race winner, Carl Edwards, and our race-winning crew chief, Darian Grubb. This is Carl's second win of the 2015 season. It is also the 75th NASCAR Sprint Cup Series win for Toyota. Carl, an exciting finish to tonight's race. Tell us about those closing laps holding off Denny and Brad. Oh, we are going to – here he comes.
Well, I feel like my pit crew ought to be sitting up here doing interviews. I mean, they won that race for us. It was just amazing to come down third and to go out leading the race. Darian, all the guys, nobody gave up tonight. We were two laps down, and we fought back hard. It's a huge win for us. I mean, Southern 500, it's obviously, one of the most sought-after wins in the world of motorsports. But tonight we had Bob Stancione and his family from Aris here. They took a huge chance coming on board, starting this fourth team, really made all this possible, and it's really cool to be in victory lane with them.
All right, and Darian, as Carl alluded to, a critical pit stop for the team with 12 laps to go. Tell us about the team effort in getting Carl off pit road in first.
They just did an incredible job all night, the whole Aris Toyota team. From Joe Gibbs Racing, everything that they've done all year, they've been phenomenal. And at least tonight we were able to show off a little bit and put him out there in the lead and have a chance to win. We've had some really good runs this year, and they've been able to knock it out of the park when it mattered. And that still wasn't their best stop of the night. They had, I think it was six stops that were under 11 seconds. It was an incredible night.
All right, we're also joined by our race-winning team owner, Joe Gibbs. Joe, tell us a little bit about the team's performance tonight and momentum heading into the chase in just 2 weeks.
Well, I think first of all, to come to Darlington, this is really the the heart of racing country, and it's a thrill for us to come here. We love this race. It's extremely hard to win. You know, I think we've had like 19 pit stops. They're fighting all night long. And if you drew this one up tonight, I don't think you could draw up a bigger victory for us. We mentioned, Carl did, that we have Bob Stangione and all the Aris people, for them to come on board this year and sponsor all the way across the board, including our cup deal, is a huge deal for us. It's big for the Aris companies. That was a big deal. Toyota, to be able to get them the 75th win for them, they're a great partner for us, great support. And then for everybody, I reflect on everybody back home, all the people at the shop that have worked so hard. JD and the team back there, I mentioned JD and our front office. And Todd Meredith deserves a lot of the credit here. Todd rarely doesn't come around to a lot of our celebrations, but he really runs all of our operations that have to do with racing. He's really the racing guy. And it's a big deal for us. You got to have a great crew chief like Darian. I don't think anybody calls a race better than Darian. Man, he just has a knack for it. He's won a championship, obviously, doing that. And it was big tonight. And then the pit crew, just like Carl said, and then you got to have somebody who can really drive a race car. So a thrill for us. And really, if you drew it up, you couldn't draw up a more exciting deal for us, everybody at Joe Gibbs Racing.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation.
Bob Pockers, ESPN. Kyle clinched a spot, guaranteeing himself a spot in the top 30. Just how big an accomplishment is that, especially when you look back not to May, but even to mid-June after Michigan?
Yeah, I think that's also a great sports story, I think. Everything that happened to us there, Daytona, and then for him to bounce back in 11 weeks, and I felt like the odds were against us, and for him to be able to pull this off and come back, win four times, and get back in the chase tonight. They had a great game plan, Adam and Kyle. They talked all night about the game plan, what they wanted to do, and first up was to make sure that they had enough points tonight that they didn't have to worry next week. And so that was a big deal for them. And so it was great for Kyle. And obviously it was great for everybody else over here at the 19 car and Carl.
All right, we'll go to Jeff.
Stephen, any comments on the interview from the media center there?
Well, not exactly a comment on that, but I will make a comment about halfway through the race. NASCAR did say that the 12 set of allotted tires that they at Goodyear did issue the teams. NASCAR did tell all the teams to manage their tires, that there would be no more tires issued by NASCAR or Goodyear, that they would have to manage their tires towards the end. They would be allowed one set of scuff tires that they'd be able to pull from practice and qualifying. So that made for a very, very interesting event towards the end, where many teams, especially Casey Kane, Dale Jr., Jimmy Johnson, as well as a handful of other top-tier teams, started running out of tires with, you know, 50, 60 laps to go, and they had to go to scuff tires. So, you know, they'll have to go back to the notebook when they go back in 2016 and try and figure this whole thing out on what you're going to do with your sets of tires, because that track really chewed them tires up. And we know, we heard in qualifying and practice, that about 20 laps in, between 20 and 22 laps into their practice runs, those tires were completely falling off and the cars were getting very, very loose. And that's when we started seeing them run up on the high side and slam the wall. So I have to applaud NASCAR by saying that you weren't going to get any more tires. And I think that was good for the race that they were not going to do so. There didn't need to be an unlimited set of tires out there, and I have to applaud them for doing so.
I will also give them a big applause. Where's my button? Let's give them a. This goes out to NASCAR. There you go, Stephen. Speedway Digest and the Pit Stop also applauded NASCAR. And just to let our listeners know, Stephen Wilson and his wife, Anne Marie, were high top Darlington Raceway in the press box, and Suzanne and I were in the media center. So it sort of worked out really good. We got to send Stephen pictures and stuff whenever somebody had something going on, and Stephen can lay stuff back and forth to us, and everything just went really well. And Stephen, you want to touch on, I think, I know me and you was texting back and forth when I was in the media center using the press box this past weekend for the Bojangles Southern 500. The record number of cautions were 17. Didn't we break that, Stephen, this weekend?
We broke the record set back in May of 2009, which was set at 17. We had 18 cautions throughout the 4.5-hour event there, which broke the track record out there. So, as I said, this came down to the tire wear at the track and the 4.5 hours that those guys were out on the racetrack running around there. It really is a testament of how hard this event is to run and how tough that track is to run. It really shows that NASCAR has put together a package that can be run at many, many types of styles of tracks with this lower downforce track, a softer set of tires, and we can see some great, great racing there. As long as we can stick with this package, and I know NASCAR has said that they're not going to bring it back throughout the chase and that this will be kind of a test for 2016, I see that we're going to see some really good racing when we come back in 2016 with this package and a different compound tire. We did see it at Kentucky, and I'm sure that at next year when we get to some of these mile and a half racetracks, which, you know, as we discussed with Lenny last week from Charlotte, you know, has been a lot of conveyor belt racing, and that's becoming closer and closer racing. We even saw some three wide racing there at Darlington. That's not something that you really want to do. Even though that it's a wide track and you've got a lot of room down on the bottom, it's not particularly something you want to try out there, but there were a couple guys trying it and they made the car stick. But some of the drivers after the race said they liked the way the cars handled. They handled very well with that low downforce package, and I applaud NASCAR again for what they've done with this package and what they did at Darlington.
Yeah, and Suzanne and I, we stayed in the media center long enough before we got the golf cart ride back out to meet you and Anne-Marie there at Press Box Parking to listen to Brad Keselowski's interview. And someone asked Brad, I don't remember who it was, it might have been Jeff Gluck or somebody, I can't remember because I was so focused on that, asked about how NASCAR has implemented this new low downforce package here at Darlington, and the guy asked Brad, do you like it? He said, well, hell yeah. I mean, you know, and I think it makes for a lot better racing, but Stephen, we got our guest coming. He's right here waiting, president of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer. Let's bring him in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Dennis, how you doing tonight, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks. How you guys?
We doing good. Hey, nice to see you again this past weekend up at Darlington. We had a blast, didn't we?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, nice seeing you guys as well. And, it was a really cool event. It just, everything felt right about being back at Darlington on Labor Day weekend.
It sure did, Dennis. Exactly. And I really like what NBC done that with the 70s throwback. I mean, it was awesome seeing Rutledge and, I don't know, like he had a leisure suit on or something like that. I mean, it was just awesome seeing all the throwback stuff there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I even got into the spirit of that. I stopped at a vintage store here in Richmond on my, you know, before I headed out of town. So picked up the shirt you guys saw me wearing and ironed an RIR logo on it. So it was good to get into the spirit of everything that was going on down there. And, you know, Rutledge might have had an old leisure suit on for Darlington, but he's going to have his party clothes on here at RIR.
You got that right, bud. And I know Stephen and Anne-Marie, they're going to come up there and cover the race for SpeedwayDigest.com. Dennis, I'm going to step aside for a few minutes, and I'm going to let Stephen have the floor. Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. You got the floor with Dennis Bickmeyer, president of Richmond Raceway, and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hey, Dennis, you talking about the party after? Yeah, your social media team did politely remind me when I posted the schedule out earlier today that you guys are having a party. So I had to go back in there and edit my schedule for the weekend and add a little bit of flair to our schedule so that it's a little bit more party and festive out there for your right after the race, everybody getting to come down there.
Yeah, well, appreciate you doing that, first off. Yeah, and, you know, we're calling it a party, but it's a celebration. I mean, it's a celebration that the first 26 races, the regular season, as more and more people, I think, are starting to call it, has come to an end. And it's a great opportunity to do a nice handoff for the industry to the chase for the Sprint Cup and really celebrate the accomplishments of the 16 drivers who are going on to compete for the Sprint Cup title. So we started this last year. It was a tremendous success. Had a great time with a lot of fans. The police estimates were maybe around 5,000, maybe a little bit more, who came down. And it was really cool with the drivers coming out and really recognizing the fans and having some fun and taking the big group photo. That's the shot that everybody wanted, was the big group photo.
Yeah, one of the things that you guys, we've gone through 25 races already. We're coming into Richmond. There's a few drivers that are kind of sitting right there on that bubble. Jeff Gordon, obviously, in his final year, this is his final time coming to the track at Richmond. He's got to clinch one way or another. There's a couple of scenarios in which he can do so there right at Richmond. What are you guys first and foremost looking to do for him? Because I know a lot of tracks have already done a few little things for him here and there throughout this final season. But what is your prediction on his clinch scenario already with 25 races in? And talk a little bit about some of the other drivers that you think are got a chance to get in at the final race in Richmond.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for Jeff, obviously, he's not where he wants to be. Without a win, you know, this deep into the season, but he is inside the top 16. So at least he's got that chance to, you know, better than a few other guys to stay in the top 16 and be able to move on in the chase and get ready for, you know, those 10 races. But, you know, I think he's still going to give everything he has. You know, what's been interesting over the last couple of years, you know, with the format, and certainly we're in the second year of this format, he's had to come down to Richmond to make something happen at Richmond to be able to get into the chase. So he's no stranger to that. But, you know, he's got a little bit of breathing room this time, so that's good. I mean, I think the bubble guy that everybody's watching is Clint Bowyer. And, you know, so things tightened up a little bit coming out of Darlington. Eric Almirola shaved a few points off. Probably not as close as he would like to be either to that 16 spot, but there's still, you know, anything can happen. You know, for me, I think you got to keep your eye on Bowyer and, you know, being that guy on the bubble. You got to look at, Almirola just right outside of that. But then I think you got to start talking about drivers like Greg Biffle or Casey Kane or Tony Stewart, who, you know, being this far out of the top 16 is not where they're used to being. And I think you got to see one of those guys just, you know, take a shot, take a swing. It's kind of a do or die moment in sports and certainly in this race to get into the chase. So I don't think they can leave anything to chance. I think they got to do anything that, you know, how they've raced at Richmond before. I think you got to throw all that out the window and try something different, and that remains to be seen. We'll see when they drop the green flag on Saturday.
And switching gears just a little bit, you guys moved the K&N series event from the spring out here to the September event, which is the second to the last event before they crown out champion in Dover in just a little over a month from now. Where do you guys feel that this is a good scenario for you? Because I know that it's on a Thursday night, and sometimes it's very hard for a lot of people to get off of work and come down there on a Thursday night. But, you know, I know years ago there was always a truck series race on a Thursday night. Is it right to have the race on a Thursday night, or do you feel that a pairing back with an Xfinity Series event and running it before or after might be a little bit of a help with getting fans to come out?
You know, we've tried a couple of different things with the K&N Series race, and we've landed back on running it on Thursday. So it's just, you know, Thursday, it is a tough day, and especially in September, it's the first week of school here as well. You know, kids just started back to school today, so there's a lot on everyone's plate this week from a family standpoint. So, you know, I think we still kind of like the three-day approach. You know, operationally, it helps a little bit. That when we tried to run it on that Friday night after the Xfinity Series race, it got to be a really, really late night for those guys. And then I think there was another time, too, where we had a weather issue, and we ended up having to run it, like, early Saturday morning. So that makes it tough for everybody. You know, you want to give the drivers in that series the best opportunity to perform. And so I think, you know, giving them the track time on Thursday and then the opportunity to race Thursday night is probably ideal given that point. From a crowd standpoint, might not be the best situation. So you got to have a little bit of give and take and try to make the best of it for everybody.
And one of the things there at Richmond is that Richmond has changed an awful lot over the years. And one aspect is that you take a look at, obviously, in Turn 3, that there's been a removal of the grandstands, and you guys have kind of put up a party plaza over there. You've changed the midway out a little bit. There's been a rebuild of the front stretch in some aspects. And you guys have done such a heck of a job on changing the grounds out there to make it more fan-friendly. Is that just an aspect of you guys just working with the fans and working with the feedback that you hear week in and week out and after the race weekend to really just rebuild the Speedway on what the fans want to see and how to bring them back or even bring in new fans in general that may not come and see a live event and kind of add that extra little bit to get somebody interested and generate more interest into the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I think all those points are good ones because we do get a lot of fan feedback. We ask for a lot of fan feedback through surveys that we send out after the race. And we use a lot of that information to drive these types of decisions on the facility. So at the end of the day, I think all of us in motorsports, we're all focused on the guest experience and delivering, you know, a high level of quality and value for our fans. So some of it is, you know, we have some seats that aren't great, you know, just quite frankly, and so we've made some decisions to take them down or change them. But then the other thing, too, is just to kind of update and modernize the facility as well and just make it more fan-friendly from an access standpoint. And that's for everybody. That's for longtime fans, first-time fans, excuse me, families. You know, I mean, I've got kids. You want to be able to get around a facility pretty easily. So, you know, all those things factor into to making these types of decisions when you, you know, either update or upgrade an aspect of your facility.
And my final question, I know Tim is probably sitting over there in the corner, and I'm going to bring him in on the conversation. I don't want to leave him out, too. I'm sure he's got a couple of questions. But, you know, as the future holds for Richmond and you guys continue to move forward into the future of Richmond International, every track has to continue moving forward. And I know you guys are doing an excellent job with what we just discussed. But, you know, now that Darlington has moved to right before your race, how do you take a look at after what Darlington's success this weekend with obviously the throwback weekend and differentiate yourself as Richmond and build off of what those guys did and then say, okay, well, we're now the last race before we cut everybody off and rebuild a little bit of that charisma and a little bit of that kind of going forward to energize the fans to for your event?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we're back-to-back you know, two of NASCAR's oldest tracks. So, you know, given the branding around the throwback weekend and the branding that we have relative to the last race to make the chase. I mean, being in that position for a few years now on the NASCAR calendar, the cutoff race, there's a real strong brand around that last race before the chase. So I think, you know, you got a couple of things at work here. You know, you can still kind of carry some of the nostalgia from Darlington over to Richmond, just again, given the fact that we're both, you know, two of the oldest tracks in NASCAR. But then for us, it is about the last race before the chase and then about opportunity. So someone of those 16 drivers or one of those 16 drivers will go on to win a Sprint Cup Series championship, their lifelong dream. And we're that place where, you know, kind of that's the jumping off point to reach that dream. So it's how do you put all these things, you know, all these ingredients together, if you will, kind of like making a cake, right? To put all these ingredients together and come out with what fits best to promote and celebrate your weekend. So for us, you still got a little bit of that nostalgia, and then certainly it's kind of a futuristic look as well. That's why, you know, we got to look at, as going back to your earlier question, ways to upgrade and modernize the Speedway as well, because, you know, you can't be future and have, you know, a lot of old stuff. So, we're always looking to, you know, to try to update some things as well.
Well, Dennis, I appreciate you taking the time. I will see you this weekend out there. Good luck on everything this weekend. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Dennis, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. But before I get to my questions, I want to give you and your staff, Amy Turner, a big applause for allowing Suzanne and I to come up this past spring and cover the race. I mean, y'all took care of it. Y'all took care of the media. Awesome. I mean, we really appreciate it. So I want to give a big applause to Dennis Bickmeyer, president of Richmond National Raceway, Amy Turner, PR director, and the whole crew up there. You got to go up there. If you hadn't been to Richmond, you better go. Here, let's give them a break. Thank you, Dennis.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Love the applause.
You're welcome. And just to throw out to all of our listeners, I'm telling you, you have got to go to Richmond International Raceway. I mean, it's just so freaking. But then I want to throw this out there. And I don't want to try to confuse you. I'm going to try to talk real slow. The clinch scenario was for the chase, for the 2015 chase here at Richmond. Regardless of who wins at Richmond, Jamie McMurray clinches by starting the race.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Newman clinches by finishing 35th or better, 32nd with at least one lap led, or 33rd with the most laps led. Okay. To Jeff Gordon, clinches by finishing 17th or better, 18th with at least one lap led, or 19th with the most laps led. Paul Menard clinches by finishing 9th or better, 10th with at least one lap led, or 11th with the most laps led. And here I go again. I'm not trying to confuse you. I mean, it confuses me, Dennis. If there is a repeat winner, here's what we got. Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman, and Jeff Gordon will clinch regardless of finish. Paul Menard clinches by finishing 38th or better, 39th with at least one lap led, or 40th with the most laps led. Clint Bowyer clinches by finishing 28th or better, 29th with at least one lap led, or 30th with the most laps led. Not trying to confuse you, Dennis, or everybody, but I don't want to put you on the spot. Do y'all have a big deal going on with Jeff Gordon this weekend with his last race there at Richmond?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of everything, actually, with Jeff. A couple of different ways to recognize him. I mean, I think, you know, you'll see some of the wall signs and some of the other things that you've seen at a lot of the other racetracks and everything. And we have something special for him on Friday. I just can't reveal it right now.
Okay, so as soon as you can reveal it, I'm sure Stephen Woods will get the press release, correct?
Oh yeah, he'll get it. Yeah, and I mean, he'll be up here, right? So we'll have to come to the media availability on Friday.
There you go. Stephen, have to go to that. And, yeah, sorry we can't make it, Dennis. You know, like I told you at Darn, whenever we talked, Suzanne and I have a prior engagement that we can't get out of. I wish I can, but I mean, really, I'm going to say it again, fans. If you want to see one hell of a race, you need to go check out Dennis Beckmeyer and a bunch of Bert Richmond. They put on one hell of a show. And Russell Brennan will tell you the same thing. But, Dennis, I know your time is limited. Do you have time to take a couple questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the phone lines have lit up. First, I want to bring on my good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen International, Mr. Todd Bixby. Todd, how you doing tonight, bud?
I am doing great.
Awesome, awesome. You're in the pit stop with Tennis Spain and Stephen Wilson and president of Richmond National Raceway, Dennis Beckmeyer. You have a question for Dennis.
Yeah. Now, you go to the different tracks and see what everybody does. And I guess my question would be, what different stuff would you do at your track versus the others?
Well, I think the one thing that's, you know, when you look at all the racetrack promoters out there, I mean, all of our venues are a little bit different. I mean, you know, the one thing that we have here at Richmond is we are the only three-quarter mile that the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races on. So, you know, we have a really unique kind of brand attribute that we can promote. But, you know, different, I think, you know, we all kind of really focus on the fans, we kind of focus on the festival atmosphere of our races. But, you know, that's kind of a general theme, but then we all kind of approach it a little differently. For us, the tailgating here in our parking lots is a big part of who we are. We throw this post-race party on Saturday night because we're the race that, you know, the cutoff race before the chase. So that puts us in a unique position to be able to do something fun and interactive with our fans. We do, in our April race, we allow all the fans that have a ticket to come on down to the racetrack and walk the track. It's called Track Takeover. We let the fans take over the track, and that's become a big part of who we are as well. You know, a lot of other tracks, they'll charge for pre-race pass or something like that. We just make it part of your regular ticket to come down on the track and hang out and walk the track and everything. So that's just a couple of things, really, for us. But, you know, every promoter's out there doing the best job they can to promote their events and find some unique opportunities for their fans.
Well, I appreciate everything that you guys do. Eventually, my bucket list will get accomplished, and that's one track I'm wanting to go to. So I just want to thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for being a fan, and we hope you cross that off your bucket list sometime.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time and answering the question for me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. We got one more here. You probably know this lady, my good friend Donna DeBoer. Let's bring Donna in the pit stop with Tennis Spain and Stephen Wilson and president of Richmond National Raceway, Dennis Beckmeyer. Donna, how you doing tonight, sweetie?
Hey, Tim. How are you? Enjoying
I'm
the show is all right.
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. You got the floor with Dennis Beckmeyer, president of Richmond International. Go ahead, sweetie.
Hey, Dennis. This is Donna DeBoer from Fredericksburg. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. And we've been bouncing some messages back and forth to one another.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I'll come up and visit you if I don't run into you down on the ground. So I talked to Shannon a couple times. She's been a real help. So I told her I would come up to the front office and try to see her because we park in the handicap at the bathhouse. So I can see if I can catch a golf cart up there and say hello to her.
Oh, excellent, excellent, good.
That's the best parking spot for us handicapped people. So I thank you for having that space available.
Oh, you're welcome, you're welcome. Yeah, it's a good spot for sure.
Yeah, well, you all always put on a great show, and I've been coming to Richmond for probably 40-some years, and I always talk it up and try to get everybody to come because it's one of the best tracks out there.
Well, we appreciate it. We love seeing you out here too. So yeah, definitely. Hopefully, make sure we run into each other. But yeah, and again, we always appreciate all your comments and everything, and for coming out. And we're looking forward to a good one this weekend. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a good one. That's with after the battle in Darlington, they'll be battling more for the last chance to be in the chase. So it's going to be always a good race at Richmond, though. But I just wanted to say hello and thank you all for all you all do at RI, for all the fans, and it makes it a fun weekend.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, we keep trying to find some more fun and unique things to do, and appreciate you taking advantage of those. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get in those bumper cars.
There you go. I'm scheduled to get in there at some point. I'm not sure what time, though.
All right. Well, we'll see you this weekend. Have a great
Thank you.
One. All righty. Bye-bye. Thanks for your time.
She's a good friend, too, Dennis. And I know your time is limited, but do you want to throw out there what all kind of specials you have going on, maybe for veterans or anything? You got the floor to throw it out to everybody, Dennis, and we'll let you promote the race this weekend for Michigan. Race before the chase.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think for everyone to go to RIR.com and check out all the latest news and information. And certainly we're rounding up all of the driver appearances and things that are going to be happening this race weekend. And got a really cool interactive map on there that shows that what tickets are available. So that's good. And if there's any camping folks out there, we're down to the last few camping spots. So, if you're interested in that, you better jump online quickly and check that out. And then, I think more than anything, it's for us at – it all comes down to the racing. I mean, I think, Thursday night's K&N Series race, and they got a little championship battle going on there. We're the next to the last race there, so see how things unfold. And then Xfinity Series race. Friday is such a cool day here because it is nonstop on the track between practices and qualifying, and then the Virginia 529 College Savings 250 race. And then, certainly Saturday, a lot of festivities around the grounds. Again, a lot of driver appearances, a lot of the displays, and then, big pre-race show. And that certainly the post-race party is really cool opportunity to get down there and celebrate with the drivers. So appreciate the opportunity tonight as well. Thank you.
You're welcome very much, Dennis. Anytime you want to come on, you got the floor. Stephen, you got anything? You got any last thoughts for Dennis, before we let him go?
Not at all. I appreciate you coming on, Dennis. And like I said, I will see you guys out there this weekend. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dennis. Thank you very much, bud. Good to see you again this past weekend in Darlington. Are you going to come to Dega?
I'm not going to make it down there this year, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, maybe you can get out here whenever you can. Anyway, Dennis, good luck this weekend. I hope everything goes awesome. I hope you feel every daggum seat you got up, bud. And I know Steve and AM will be there covering it. Like I said, Suzanne and I had prior engagements. We can't make it, but we'll definitely be watching on TV, bud.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome, Dennis. Have a good one, bud. Y'all be careful.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Stephen, that was Dennis Bickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway there. We got a big weekend coming up, and chase scenario stuff I read off. I think when I read that first line, it just blowed my freaking mind. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about Jeff Gordon, Stephen? You think he's going to make it?
He's going to need a little bit of help, I think, this weekend. He's going to have to stay out of trouble, obviously, out there. Unless there's a repeat winner. However, there's an interesting stat in the last 20 events that's been held at Richmond International Raceway. There has been a repeat winner there, so he has a good opportunity of making it into the chase. However, I think Clint Bowyer is probably going to be the guy that is going to need the most help of the weekend out of anybody. That's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it scatters your brain whenever you see him. It's what if that, what if this, or whatever. Stephen, let's bring Todd on to get his thoughts here for this coming weekend. We'll we'll go ahead and end it and go eat supper, and maybe I can get some sleep, which I slept like a rock last night, but I'm still tired. Todd, you're back in the show. What's your prediction this weekend on the race there at Richmond International Raceway, the last race before the chase before they head to Chicagoland?
Well, I think it's going to be the most awesome race. My prediction, of course, I'm along with Susan. I got to go with Dale Jr.
Well, I figured Suzanne, I know. And let's bring Suzanne on. Let's see what she has to say. Let's see who, what's her prediction. Is Jeff Gordon going to make it, or who's going to win the race? Suzanne, what you think?
In here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going to take Todd's side. Well, me and Stephen me and Stephen are going to stick with which I'm a big Jeff Gordon fan, but I love everybody. I mean, you know, all 43 drivers strap themselves in that. They put their life on the line every time they strap in that car. But I'm a big Jeff Gordon fan. But I'm probably going to lean over toward the Gibbs. Gibbs had figured something out, hadn't he, Stephen?
Yeah, Joe Gibbs Racing definitely has got something going. Kyle Busch has been very good there at Richmond over the past couple of years, and so has Denny Hamlin. Although I'm going to lean against and probably say that Kyle Busch is going to take that one both Friday and Saturday night, sweeping the weekend.
Okay, I'll mark that down, and you're probably exactly right. We're up at the top of the hour. Todd, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank Dennis Bickmeyer from Richmond International Raceway coming on. Took time out to come on and talk about this last race before the chase. It's going to be awesome. And, Stephen, I know you and AM are headed up there. Y'all have safe travel. Tell the boys I said hello and throw out there where everybody can follow you at on social media, Stephen, and your website. You got the floor, bud.
You follow us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com. We'll be out at Richmond International Raceway all weekend long, covering the Xfinity Series and Sprint Cup Series. We're going to cut, like I said, we're going to cut everybody off and send them on to Chicago and for the final 10 races to crown a champion in the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series season. It's going to be a good event out there. And like I said earlier, and as Dennis said, you got a ticket. Come on down after the race and join the party with all 16 drivers that are going to move on.
Exactly, bud, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And we're going to play a song, Stephen. We're going to sign off live from Talladega, Alabama, with a 2.66-mile super speedway we call Talladega Super Speedway. Stephen, have a good night. We'll talk to you on the flip side, bud.
Been in love with New York City a time or two. I had some Seattle coffee, some Chicago wind, some Kansas wheat fields I'd love to see again. But the fireflies play where the cattails grow, and them southern girls, they talk nice and slow with kisses sweeter than Tupelo. She's
Well, then, fellas, come on, you know what I'm talking about.